listening to the Digital Strips Podcast, the first
and best
webcomics podcast on the planet, and the show proud to say they never even tried a bowl of the adult stuff. It's been sugar-packed lumps all the way, baby! I am your host, and I am just thrilled to be working with one of the greatest serial mascots of all time, even if he has certain allegations against him in the last year. That was a different time, and I understand that he only called those kids those terrible things because he was afraid, not because he's a bigot. I am Jason, the Midnight Cartooner Sigler. With me as always, he is hanging out in his cool fortress, which he stole, just waiting for someone to stop by and ask to, you know, do something or whatever. He is Steve the Geek Shinny.
Giving ourselves some lore in these backdrops.
So this comic is kind of very, like, it's not very deep. It's mostly on the surface. So if I wanted to give these people, like, deep, you know, philosophical and maybe emotional reasons for doing the things they do, I kind of had to come up with it myself. So it's not a bad thing. It's just a very on the surface, that this is what you get comic. So
I love the idea that you're like, what can I do to make this a more well-rounded character? I know. Allegations of racism. He's a saber-toothed tiger.
I was reading about something similar, like somebody being canceled on Twitter, I think, at the moment when I was writing my intros, so that didn't help. And I was also watching, like, a dramatic show with my wife, so, you know, I was like, oh, I gotta put the drama in. Like, this fun serial comic needs to be Law and Order. It doesn't, and it's not, so, yeah. Have no fear. It's much lighter than I made it out to be. The comic that we are talking about is Crunchy Bunches. It's brought to us by Scott Warren. And Crunchy Bunches is the story of a cereal mascot. I know we just recently talked about breakfast, so I guess it's on my mind at least. I did realize when I was writing the intros, I was like, wait, I used that intro last week. Why did I use that intro last week or last time? Breakfast? What's it? Oh, that's right. We just talked about breakfast. Oh my gosh. I am so old. I can't remember anything that happened like 2 weeks ago. So yes, breakfast. But this one is it's a cereal mascot and his friends slash assistants and the adventures they go through and also just silly jokes about cartoon cereals and Saturday morning breakfast times and all those, that thing of yore that we all remember as children, getting to, you know, wake up and watch the cartoons and eat the cereal and watch the commercials for even more cereal that we didn't have yet and we wanted to get. It's all that wrapped up in a neat package. Scott is clearly a lover of kind of breakfast cereals and their mascots, it seems like, and he's got a lot of kind of history that he writes about in the blog posts, if you have time to read any of those. But this is a pretty basic story. Like I said, it's all ages, definitely. And yeah, it's cute and it's funny here and there. I enjoy some of the breakfast puns, and I think it's just, that's just fun.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. It was, it's a very high concept comic. Like you said, it's like, what if you take the world of cereal mascots and what would it actually be like to live in them? And, you know, oh, well, yeah, you know what? The bag cereal guys probably would hate the name brand guys. And the constant going around looking for friendly new ingredients to, or friendly, exciting new ingredients in all these hidden temples and stuff has got to wear on you after a while. And yeah, it's just, what would happen if you took that to its logical conclusion? And I had a great time going to its logical conclusion, because its logical conclusion involves Yetis eating people's ancestors. And that is what I want in my comic.
That is, there are rare kind of dark moments like that, where, so the main character, who is Munchy, the mascot for Crunchy Bunches cereal, he is telling the story of his great-great-grandfather, Sir Archibald Munchwell III, Esquire, of course. And yeah, he's talking about how he, you know, I'm sure I'll get this wrong because I didn't write down the actual details of that. But he's
since when has accuracy ever stopped you before?
Dang right. Not about to start today, dang it. but just telling the story of how things maybe came to be, and it's this long drawn out, like, in sepia toned backstory, and then he just cuts it off and is just like, and then he was eaten by Yetis.
Yeah.
And everybody else is just like, what? It's a weird way to wrap up a story. Yeah, anyways, let's go continue our quest. It's like, you're bad at storytelling.
And the great thing is, over the course of the 10-year run of this comic, that gets paid off at the end, and it's all explained.
So. Ah, well, there you go. I did not actually read that part. So Steve jumped around a little bit more than I did. I read straight through and got up to, this is an old, it does start a while back. It started back in, I think, 2012, and I was up to 2015, and there is a large gap. Well, it wraps up in 2019, as you said, and kind of Scott comes back for kind of a quick wrap up to tie things up in a bow later on. But yeah, it ends its run back then. And so I got a lot of the story, and you know, there are things that pay off later on, and it kind of in an old school comic way, there's like here's a little link in case you don't know what he's talking about here. There's this comic that, you know, this is where this joke started. So there are some of those, and like I said, dark jokes, but I think by and large, it's a lot of just love for the serial mascots of olden days, and just an homage to them. It doesn't ever outright use any of the actual mascots. Like, it's always like, oh, Lucky Charms, aha, here's my leprechaun that I used.
Yeah.
I think it's actually a pair of leprechauns, but yeah, he always makes up his own. And you can tell who they're supposed to be. I do have a panel saved here that's they're supposed to be the owl from the Tootsie Pop commercials.
Not breakfast cereal, by the way.
No, it's not. But you can get away with that. It's sweet.
But
it's
fun. But I ate them for breakfast, you want, Steve, so it counts.
He really just wanted to do a joke where the owl is terrifying and carries away the lollipop to assumingly eat it. So, we'll forgive him for that. But yeah, it just keeps on introducing different characters and their takes on classic characters that we already know, and maybe archetypes and other things. And they keep coming back to Munchie constantly saying, like, oh, after you've had a bowl of Crunchy Bunches, you'll be, you know, stronger and ready to take on the day. And everybody's just like, that's not true. That doesn't work.
But it works for him. Every time he eats it, he gets slightly better at sports.
Exactly. Slightly better. Yes. He's trying to catch something at one point. He's like, ooh, I need to eat my Crunchy Bunches. And he goes and eats it. He tries to catch something. Goes slightly over his head. And Theo, I think, the little lightning bug, is just like, wow, he is better.
That's the thing I think we need to point out. Like, we made it sound like it's a very light comic, and it is, but there are stories here. It starts out as just a bunch of little vignettes of little, basically cartoon or comic or commercials, basically commercials that harken back to this style of commercial of serial advertising. But then they actually start getting into more stories. You learn how Munchie makes his cereal. He gets an assistant in Theo. The robot joins. There's a whole adventure where he tries to eliminate all the cookie elves that have infested his tree because he thinks they're like roaches. He has no idea they're actually people. And yeah, so there's all these little fun adventures, and there's character growth, and things progress. There, it is a serialized, see what you did there, Scott. Story where people progress and grow, and that is almost in juxtaposition to the subject matter, because it's been 75 years and Sonny still goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and he's never once joined a club or joined an association where he talked about his cuckoo problem and got help. And so, you know, this is good.
Yeah, there are, I think the main quest that I was in the middle of, I think, when I stopped, and is kind of the biggest one that he sets out on, is when Benton, who is the kind of jealous mascot, and he was the mascot of a different cereal. I forget what the name of it was. I didn't write it down for
It was like Crunchable Bunch. It was the bag cereal equivalent of Crunchy Bunches.
Yes, yes. Which, of course, you know, we all heard about and Malta Meals. You really should come down here for getting your cereal.
Wait. We all heard about? Did you never eat a Malta Meal bag?
I ate the Captain Crunch alike, which was like these little weird, like concave discs instead of the delicious little crunchy pillows that Crunch and Captain Crunch.
Oh, those crunchy pillows like his... with jagged edges of broken glass covered in sugar.
Everybody talks about that. I do not get where... I never had a problem with the jagged, sharp edges of Captain Crunch. I still eat it. I ate this morning. I had Captain Crunch and Crunch Berries, and my mouth feels wonderful.
You're like the guy in the Kung Fu movie just kicking a tree over and over again until his leg can no longer feel pain. The rest of us stopped eating Captain Crunch after it sliced our mouth open and we drank it softened with our own blood.
Exactly. Once you get past that, it's delicious.
That's what I've heard, but no, we were definitely a Malta Meal family. We were so bad. We were to the point where my sisters like got spoiled by going to my grandma's house and having box cereal, that they demanded box cereal. So my mom would buy, she bought one box of Cocoa Puffs and then continued to put Malta Meal in that same box. So that box, that one box of Cocoa Puffs lasted us like 2 years because it kept getting refilled by the Malta Meal. And we had like a Fruit Loops that did the same thing. It was magical. So unlike you, who has heard of this mythical poor food down in the bottom of the cereal aisle, that's where I'm 100% born and bred.
Yes, the one time I had it, it was at my poor friend's house. And I was just like, oh yeah, that's right, this is a thing, okay, yeah, I'll try it. And I had it and I was just like, I mean, I can taste what they're doing, but it's not the same.
I guess I will try Fortunate Doodads.
I don't remember what they were called, but it was not good. And I was very happy to go back to my Captain Crunch or Cinnamon Toast Crunch and whatever it was I actually had at home. And yeah, that's leave the less fortunate to their bottom feeding choices. But yeah, it brings in kind of ancillary stuff like that and folds it into the story in a way that makes sense. So I think Scott does a really good job of that, of taking the things that we remember from growing up and the cereal mascots and all that stuff and blending it together. I don't know if you remember way back in the day we read, I think it was Breakfast of the Gods. I think it was the comic.
Yes,
that was
bring that up. Yeah.
Yeah, that was like super epic. Like that got so out of hand by the time I think it ended or where I stopped reading it, that it was barely about cereal mascots anymore. And like if they introduced one, it would be like, oh, that's right, I totally forgot this is about mascots. This is just a bloody fight, like anime fight for the last 50 comics or whatever. So this, in the same way that it puts all that into context of an open world, basically, and all these characters exist in it and they interact with one another. That is true, but this one is a lot lighter and, I don't know, easily digestible. Like, we don't really harp on the, I don't know, not terrible aspects of it, but just the more realistic. Like, it's very cartoony. It never strays from that. It's always, they may have, you know, real human emotions and whatever that guide them, but it's always going to be to serve some cartoony, silly pun or whatever at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Although, I will remind you, Jason, that the epic battles of Breakfast of the God are not real life either. Like, that's not...
Well, I know they're not real life, but I mean, like, more, like... I don't know. But grittier. Yes. Like, it's just, it has that more... Yeah.
It's more intense.
Violent. Yes, definitely. I think last time I looked up that comic, it was not like online anymore, and that is sad.
that has started to happen to some of the old school originals. They're just gone, and that's sad, like legit sad.
If you didn't keep up a way of having it online or saving it in some way, I mean, hopefully that person has the stuff saved in their personal archive, and you know, someday it can be found again. But I mean, let that be a lesson to you, Scott. But this comic, make sure. And continue hosting it or get it to your own site or whatever you have to do, because this will not be around forever. I see that little actually handwritten 9/26/15 in the corner. I'm like, man, that's so long ago. And it's not. It's only 7 years, but it feels like it's forever ago, thanks to, I mean, the world in general, but also just being old or feeling old.
Like, time has always felt weird. Like, I don't think that's new to our generation.
No, no. It just, with the internet, like, it, just seeing a time like that written the way it is, it's just like, oh man, this comic was made over 7 years ago. Whoa! It's, yeah. It's weird how that stuff works. But this is a finished work, or finished for now at least, and I it's definitely one, especially if you really, if you grew up with the mascots, Malto Meal or not, and really liked the commercials and got into that stuff in any way, or even just grew up in that period, I think you'll really get a kick out of this. I think it's got a lot of nostalgia and also just good writing and fun for anyone to read. So I recommend it on that basis.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a lot of fun with this, and it, I think it made me genuinely laugh out loud a lot more than I was expecting. Like, when you sent this one in, I kind of gave it I skimmed the about page. I'm like, huh, okay, going old school. All right, whatever. And I did not think I would be laughing this much, but I did. It was more than just a fun concept. It was a very fun execution of that comic, of that concept. So, well done, Scott.
Yeah, and to that regard, it feels like there's not a whole lot to mine in that world. Like, oh, you do the mascots, you do a joke about each one, and it's like, okay, that's probably all you have, right? But every time there's a new story or some new thing starting, like, there's another element that's introduced, either from the existing mascots and their quote-unquote lore, or just made up out of, you know, seemingly nowhere to go along with that. It really does a good job of continuing that and being like, oh no, we're not done. Like, we're going to keep going with this quest. It's like, oh, that's pleasantly surprising. So yeah, lots to read here. There's a good long archive, and I think everybody will have a great time with Crunchy Bunches, whether it gives you diabetes or not. So sweet. That will do it for this episode of Digital Strips. If you have any comments about anything we've talked about in this episode, or suggestions for future episodes, you can find us on Twitter. The show is at Digital Strips. I personally am at the Jason Sigler.
And I Sabretooth Tigerly, am at Idahobo.
Or if you prefer, you can head on over to our website. That's digitalstrips.com. You can leave us a comment there in the show notes. You can also reach us by email, and that email address is digitalstrips@gmail.com. We give special thanks to Chime and Adam Tell for our music, which is from their song Hole, W-H-O-L-E. You can find Hole, along with many other great copyright-free songs, on YouTube, SoundCloud, and Spotify. And if you like this show, I have great news. We do another one. It's a show featuring two guys who have never met in real life, giving each other plenty of reasons to stick to that decision. That show is called Then You Ruined It. You can find Then You Ruined It, along with Digital Strips, on pretty much any podcast platform you use. If those platforms allow for reviews, we really appreciate those 5-star reviews. 5 stars. Thank you. And until next time, for Digital Strips, I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler.
I continue to be Steve the Geek Shinny.
Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you in the fourth panel. There's just a bowl of empty, boring milk. Add more cereal. Next bowl.
It's not boring milk. It's kind of got some weird color to it and a lot of sugar.
I was going to say, you have to get to the good part. I'm not just going to go for it because it's weird colored milk. No, thank you. Tell me there's sugar in it. Yes, I'll dive in.
Weird colored milk for life.
The only cereal I would eat with milk when I was a kid was Rice Krispies, pour those in the bowl, put sugar on top of it, crap loads of sugar, and then dump the milk on top so the sugar then floated around in the milk and everything. Oh.
Then eat the sugar off the top of the milk, add more sugar.
I mean, really scrape the sugar off the bottom of the bowl, because that's how sugar works, you know, it falls. But the point is made. It was just, I remember as I getting older, I tried that, and I was like, oh god, this is just sugar, milk, this is gross. I was a gross kid. Kids are disgusting. My mom just nods at me. Yes. Yes, they are.
You were.